Testing, testing. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another literary disappointment hour with some more Drunk and Dangerous. And if you've read the title, which I'm assuming you have, we're back for more Moon People 3. yay! Now, I'm assuming you were in the last one, but if you weren't, we last left off with sexy pirate talk. Chuck and Jenna made a date, and he referred to her as me lady. An uncomfortable amount of times, which is any time. You shouldn't... me lady, not even m'lady, but me lady? Me hyphen lady? Is that a thing? Is that a thing? Has anyone ever been hit on and somebody's been like, me lady, when they weren't actively engaged in pirate roleplay? So anyway, the last sentence before I stopped was, Chuck looked adventurous and said, I will count the hours, Lieutenant. He looked adventurous. What is an adventurous expression? What is that? What's the expression that goes, that face says adventure? I don't think there is one. Like, is it some kind of a, like, I will count the hours. Like, looking adventurous is what? Looking intense? Like, you would assume you'd be smiling. You assume you'd be happy. She's like, hey, I'll go out with you. And instead you just stare intensely into the distance. Like, yes, I'm counting the hours. You're not Batman. What are you doing? David and Heather started walking toward the door to leave, as it, we wish we could. And Lieutenant Courtney stood up and said, everybody, let's toast to Commander Braemar. Just jacking him off with one hand. Hey, everybody, you haven't been reminded in another, like the last few paragraphs how amazing David Braemar is, so let's toast him. Where's the cyanide? I'll take it first. And his Genesis project. Then everybody stood up. Even the Paulines. And they raised their glasses. But it's the improper there. It's T-H-E-R-E. Their glasses. And said, this toast is for you, Commander Braemar. Because, you know, they're all the hive mind. They all do everything at once. Then everybody took a drink. These are adults, mind you. And shouted, hip, hip, hooray. Who the fuck says hip, hip, hooray? Has anyone ever in their life been like, you know what? The appropriate reaction here is a hip, hip, hooray. This isn't like a parade from the 1950s. That's where I feel like that's appropriate. A hip, hip, hooray. There's a parade and, you know, the war is over or something. Like, I feel like a bunch of grown adults of their own volition all decided to say in unison, hip, hip, hooray. I feel like that doesn't happen on its own. I feel like... I don't believe you. Is this maybe hip hip hooray comes back into common usage, and by the time this happens in like 2040, there's been a hip hip hooray wave, and that actually becomes like the new trend. Look, I can justify this. We can make this work. Come on, let's put lipstick on this pig. We'll do it, you guys. Okay, let's see. Everybody shouted hip, hip, hooray. And then David started laughing and told everyone, thank you. Heather and David went ahead and left to go to David's place. But the place is also capitalized, which leads me to believe he has a business called David's Place. Let me guess, it's a Red Lobster. They just replaced the sign as David's Place. When they arrived, David made him and Heather a couple of drinks. Who's him? The person who's going to be cucking him later that evening, I like to think. David made him and Heather a couple of drinks, and they sat down in the living room in front of the 80-inch TV monitor. He's making up for something. David asked Heather, feels like a caveman wrote this sometime.
David asked Heather.
David asked Heather if she might want to watch an old pirate movie. He too was put in the mood, me lady. He heard it and he was like, pirates. It's like subtle. Like when you go to the movies and there's like popcorn wafting in and like all the ads and you're like, maybe I should get popcorn even though it's like $50 for an ounce or something. Cocaine is cheaper than the movie popcorn. Don't do cocaine, kids. Heather said, you know, I used to watch that pirate movie that was a big hit in the early 2000 years. It was called Pirates of the Caribbean. What do you say we watch that one? David replied, I know that one. That's a good choice. A very creative movie. Computer, look up and play the pirate movie called Pirates of the Caribbean. In brackets, computer.
Affirmative.
About 30 seconds later, on came the movie, Pirates of the Caribbean. 30 seconds? What the fuck? It doesn't take 30 seconds now. Why is it taking 30 seconds? Computer, you suck. I mean, maybe it's impressive in space. I don't know. They watched the movie for a little while and had another drink, and one thing led to another, and they wound up in David's bed. They made love for... how long, kids? How long? Do you remember? About an hour. He's a man of routine, okay? He goes to Red Lobster for dinner. He digests to roughly 30 minutes of Pirates of the Caribbean, wherein he and his pseudo-daughter go to his room and make love for approximately an hour. I have to assume this includes foreplay and wind down, because if it's just an hour of pumping, my fucking God. My apologies to both sets of genitalia for, like, the Indian burn you fucking got all over your dick and in your vagina. Because there's no way that you don't have rug burn all up and down that either rug-having or non-rug-having area. Anyway. Long story short, don't do that. Fucking for about an hour sounds hot when you've never had sex. Actual penetration with no breaks for an hour straight sounds painful. I can't imagine you don't end up with, like, friction burn, legitimately. Which is why I'm just gonna say hefty doses of foreplay. Maybe he's a generous father's lover. Sorry. He wants what's best for his daughter. Anyway, horrifying. And they were so tired they fell fast asleep. They both slept good the whole night. And before you knew it, the alarm came on and it was Led Zeppelin singing the song Stairway to Heaven. David and Heather woke up smiling at each other and then started kissing again. Then David said, well, honey, don't call her honey. You're already her father figure. How did you sleep last night? Then Heather gave David another kiss and told him, a night with you in the heavens. And then smiled a little more. I guess she just took a big pause in that sentence. Her brain is, like, taking some time to run up. Like an old computer, it's just rebooting in the morning. I needed an update overnight. And she smiled a little more as she processed that statement and said, was like a trip through the heavens on a magic carpet ride. Like, legitimately, she just cut her sentence off halfway to smile and stare in the distance. Like she's your old aunt with, like, dementia. Is she having a Vietnam flashback? Someone get the smelling salts. Help her. Help her run away from this weird, about hour long David's Place sexathon. But apparently it was like a trip through the heavens on a magic carpet ride. Stroke your own fucking ego a little harder. I don't even understand, like, that description. Trip through the heavens on a magic carpet ride of penis. Then David said, Heather, do you mind if we don't make love this morning? He's got a burn all over his dick. It's just the... Then Heather interrupted David and said, I know, you're so anxious to get on the bridge. It's okay, honey. We can have fun making up for lost time later. Then David and Heather got up and got dressed. Just one dress. Why? Who knows? David was dressed in no time at all. He put that dress on. He's like, it makes my ass look so good. So he ordered breakfast for him and Heather. He had it all ready before Heather was done getting dressed. The Aurora had a food processor that was an Earth translation called the deatomizer. What it did was create a molecule formula from a certain meal on the list of foods it can make, like a replicator. Thank you. It would reproduce atom genetic structures, and then it duplicated it in the oven cooked. English, my language not is. But fortunately, we haven't been able to send live animals or people through it yet. Why? Because you want to consume them? Send a live person through and eat them? I mean, I'm assuming not, but, like, it really makes it sound like that was your intent. Like, you're like, man, if only we could send live chickens into the oven and listen to their screams as they cook alive. It would make space so much more interesting, but until then, I guess I'll just eat this not living substance. It hasn't suffered at all. Aww. I mean, I'm sure, but maybe. Maybe you're... I mean, I'm kind of disappointed. If only I could reproduce a person and cook them. But it was perfect for creating food. Non-living food. Aww. The Aurora was a Pauline ship, and it was their technology. Thanks for the reminder. It was on the ship when they traded. When Heather came out of the restroom and seen that David had breakfast all set up at the table.
Hey, that looks good. Thank you, honey. I didn't expect this.
Yeah, he pressed a couple buttons on a replicator. So romantic.
Wow, you pressed buttons.
That's all he's done this entire time. His whole job consists of pressing a couple buttons repeatedly, and people clap and, like, make toasts and say hip hip hooray all in unison, which has never happened for me. And frankly, I am appalled. You're all doing a terrible job as patrons. Where's my hip hip hooray? I can push buttons too, goddammit. I could push in buttons right now. I'm pushing a button to make you forget that this came out late today. button push, you're forgetting, right? It worked, I fixed it. Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway. I got all lost in that. Help me forget. David answered,
Oh, that's okay, baby. You do the same for me all the time. I was just trying to return the favor, honey.
Then Heather said, You sure did, baby.
Then Heather gave David a kiss and sat down at the table. They both ate a pretty good breakfast, and then they gave each other another kiss. You didn't even brush your teeth, animals. And David left to the bridge, and a couple minutes later, Heather took off to her office. She was an officer's aide and worked in the information department. She was a ship's consultant and an office secretary aide wherever needed, and very good at what she did. Her department section was as big as a 4-story building on board the Aurora. Why is it so big? Why is everything there so big? Why are you so obsessed with size? They aided the entire ship when someone needed somebody. Wow, I love that description. Like, we're looking to hire someone. Oh, what for? Well, I need you to do something when someone asks for it. What is that thing? You'll know when you're asked. You go to the place for the thing where they do the thing that we asked for. Yes. David hurried to the bridge to check his data. He had thought about the experiment all night, off and on. He thought he had a pretty good plan of attack. David arrived about 10 minutes earlier than normal. Most everyone always arrives at around 0600. David started turning on all of his station and his 30-inch monitor. He's obsessed with size, I'm telling you. Who gives a fuck that his monitor's 30 inches? No one cares. This isn't like a PC for him. No one gives a fuck. David was going over all of the stats. Then said,
"Hey, that's different. Oh my God, the core temperature's cooled a lot more than I thought it would. It's because of the log eclipse. If this keeps dropping, oh my God, we should be able to pull it off easy."
Yeah, like he would ever encounter difficulties. Never. Any difficulty that they encounter will always be easily overcome, because it is all just a way to showcase David Bramer's greatness, right? He's not allowed to fail at all. Like, there's no tension. We all know what's going to happen. He's going to eat Red Lobster, going to fuck his pseudo-daughter for about an hour, and everyone's going to clap, and he's going to get a million fucking participation ribbons while everybody praises his name and sucks his dick, and he's in awe always over and over about how wonderful everything is going, which he shouldn't be, because it seems like his entire existence has been nothing but one success after another. Like, kind of makes you hate the fucking guy. Because he's really done nothing to deserve all this obscene amount of praise. Everybody else is actually involved in this too. And instead of congratulating each other, they just boomerang back and forth this praise of David Bramer as if he is God among men, simply because the story is written from his perspective. But, like, if I were to have a friend who said, like, that is how they were treated at the office, I'd be like, oh, narcissist, I see. Like, sure, okay. Yeah, everybody's always being like, wow, applause. I'm like, they think you're mentally handicapped. Like, why is everybody, like, fluffing you so fucking hard? I'm really concerned that this is actually mockery and you're not smart enough to understand. You're, like, actually playing into it, which just makes it more fucked up and funnier from their perspective. So maybe consider this. But no, It's more success. The core temperature dropping faster than expected is a good thing. Because of course it is, you know. It's always good on David's behalf. Also he capitalized idea. No idea it would drop this much. Idea, the I is capital. Why do you do these things? I don't even understand where that choice came from.
At this rate of temperature drop, if this keeps up, we could have the right core temperature for the experiment in about 3 hours. It's perfect for the experiment.
Oh my God, the way he fucking speaks.
Also, looky here. Volcanic activity is reduced down to a minimal amount.
Wow, who knew terraforming was that easy? A push of a button. Jack. Oh, fucking David Bramer. I'm sorry. This is too much. Looky here. Hip, hip, hooray. David Bramer's done it again. Someone get the lube. We're all gonna lube our asses up and get ready to take it. He's earned it. He's a god.
Man, this is all looking better than I thought it would.
Oh, look. He's surprised again. He's so humble because he's always so surprised.
We could launch all the photosynthesis applicators, and then we could do the experiment. This is looking very positive. Wait, What's this? There's some kind of magnetic plasma energy on the surface. Maybe it's some kind of reason from the rapid cooling from the eclipse, like static electricity. It seems to be increasing in size and strength. It's getting really powerful.
End of that chapter for some reason. I know it starts right in the middle of his continued train of thought. Because these chapters begin and end with no rhyme or reason. Chapter 6 is called Venus Shows Her Love. Weird, vaguely sexual title, which I'm sure is just going to be the planet being like, hey, I'm going to let you terraform me because I'm Venus and you're David Brammer, and not even a planet can resist you and your charms and your button-pushing abilities. My God, if I was a female human woman, I would make love to you for about an hour, but sadly I'm a planet, so all I can do is open my whole ice cavity up to you and let you plunder me from within. David Brammer would totally fuck that planet.
I wonder what in the world is causing that.
Then suddenly the bridge door opened and in walked most of the bridge crew. They could smell him. They're like, is that our savior, David? Oh my God, I can smell his greatness. But actually, it's just because he hasn't showered for 3 weeks and he smells like old sex. Fucking baloney. Okay, yeah. Most of them just walked in all at once because the hive mind is controlling them. Then Commander Kraft, second in command, walked in. You could see the Admiral coming down the hall talking with someone when the bridge door opens. Then David said,
good morning,
to everyone, and then said,
good morning,
to Commander Kraft. And then Commander Kraft said to David, you got here pretty early this morning. Couldn't wait, could you? And then David smiled and said,
you know you're right, sir. I couldn't stop thinking about the Genesis experiment all night. I was up off and on for about 3 hours.
Everything's about. He'll never say, oh yeah, I was like studying for 3 hours, which like, that's a thing people do. They don't say it was about all the time. Why are you afraid to be explicit when you're writing the story? You decide how long it is. Like, stop saying fucking about. And we don't necessarily need the time either. Like, I don't care if you're fucking for an hour. I don't care how long you're fucking this person. I'm not keeping a fucking timer and being like, oh, he only fucked her for 5 minutes. Like, you don't have to make it like, oh, it was about this long. Well, do you not know? I guess when you roofie them other person and they're not going to tell you to stop, it kind of drags on. Let's see. Where the fuck was I? Oh, yeah. Everybody on the bridge was there to suck David off for his good morning, you're better than all of us meeting. Yeah, I was thinking about it for about 3 hours. Just about. He was thinking about it for about 3 hours. Just in case you were like, oh, I was worried. Did you get enough sleep? And he's like, well, what's 8 minus about 3 hours? I don't know. The hypoxia is getting worse. Commander Kraft asked, have you come up with anything new?
Yes, sir,
David replied.
As a matter of fact, I have. Commander, here's the latest, sir, because we have had the planet eclipsed for so long. The inner core temperature has decreased by about 50% in just 15 hours. By my calculations, it will be at the perfect core temperature at approximately 3.5 hours, sir.
That was one sentence. Then suddenly in walked Admiral Benson. Well, hello, everybody. How is everyone this beautiful solar day? This beautiful solar day. Hip, hip, hooray, it's solar day. Sorry, just so dumb. Look, that's a hit song in the future. The taste, everyone's taste, terrible. Everyone laughed. Ha, 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 ha. And said that, we're great, sir. Everyone wished the Admiral a good morning back. Good morning back. I'm so dumb. Okay. Then Commander Bramer said, "Good morning, sir. I'm ready to brief you if you're ready, sir."
"Sure, Commander," the Admiral replied. "What's our plan of attack?" David answered,
"Well, sir, first of all,"
period,
"science engineering is about to launch about, oh, it's going to launch about 78 photosynthesis satellite applicators."
About? How many photosynthesis applicators? About 78? Is it 78 and one half of one? What the fuck is with the abouts? God damn. Basic editor would be like, why all the abouts? Why all of them? We're going to launch about 78, you know, give or take.
That'll take about 4.5 to 5 hours. Then, sir, I was telling Commander Kraft before you walked in that when I first started this morning, I noticed two very important things. That is, one, the good news is because the planet Venus has been eclipsed so long that the interplanet core is cooled at an alarming rate, but good for us, sir. In fact, sir, if it keeps falling at its current rate, the core temperature will be perfect for the experiment in about 3.5 hours.
Wow, I'm so glad we get to hear that over and over.
Then the Admiral said, "What's the bad news, Commander?"
"Sir,"
David replied,
"the bad news is I've located some kind of a magnetic plasma energy mass that is growing in size and strength, and I do not know why, sir."
But it's N-O instead of no. I think I know why you don't know.
why do you
call it bad news, Commander? The Admiral asked. David answered,
"Well, sir, I guess because of a couple of characteristics. One being the intensity of the plasma energy and the fact that it is growing in strength. Two is that I do not understand the origin and how it's growing in strength." "It is not making any sense, sir."
And the sense is the wrong sense. It's S-I-N-C-E. My fucking God, man. This is like elementary level shit, my dude. Basic shit.
"It just suddenly appeared out of nowhere and seems to be generating its own energy. I have no idea what's making it happen. It could be some kind of reaction from the rapid cooling. Or it could either be a bad electrical storm on the surface, or some kind, or maybe one of our canisters on the surface has a leak and there's a bad chemical reaction from it. There's one more thing, sir. The average surface temperature has bottomed out from the eclipse and is now steady at negative 140 degrees Fahrenheit, sir. Normally, the surface temperature's around 460 degrees Celsius, sir, because of all the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. But since we have had Venus eclipse, the temperature's much colder, sir."
Then the Admiral said, "Will the colder than normal temperature hurt us in any way when we take away the eclipse?" In brackets, David.
"Unknown, sir. It shouldn't. I feel the sun would normally heat the planet back up very quickly in about 1 month. But the difference is that when we take away the eclipse, the planet's chemistry will be entirely different. But we can adjust the density of the eclipse. Hopefully without all the carbon dioxide, and I know there will be a lot more nitrogen, we might just see magic. We're also showing a lot more oxygen, too, which should mix well with the nitrogen and keep the atmosphere and core temperature down and should keep the surface temperature down also."
There's a 100% chance he has checked out at this point. No one is listening this long. Like, shut up. Shut up, David. No one fucking cares. Get to the goddamn point. No one needs the specifics. Like, you can tell us the temperature now. No one fucking cares that you know the prior temperature. Shut up. Shut your fucking whore mouth. Shut it. You shut it, you red lobster eating son of a bitch. You fucking shut up. No one cares. Oh my God.
I need a drink.
Right. Where was I? Okay.
Another good point is the ecliptic satellites are adjustable to how much sun we want to let back in on the planet's surface. We should be able to adjust the planet's surface atmosphere by how much sun we let in through the tint shield. If we fail to achieve our goal through the chemical mixture, at least we should be able to compensate with the control of the atmosphere with the satellites.
Then the Admiral said, I like that. Yeah, it's a good answer for I wasn't listening. All of what you said was good. So whatever happens, we should have some kind of success in the experiment. Very good, Commander. So, Commander, what do we do about the energy mass? In brackets, David.
Well, sir, there really isn't much we could do but study the phenomenon. If any more data comes up, sir, I will tell you immediately.
So where does that leave us now, Commander? The Admiral asked.
Well, sir.
David glanced down at his instruments, and all of a sudden, the energy mass started to diminish. He looked at it and was like, I can't fail. And it's like, you're right, God, David. And it willingly killed itself for his well-being. Oh, I forgot to mention, there's some, like, really weird, blurry, blown-out clip art. I'm not even sure what it's supposed to be. I feel like I need to take a picture or something at some point and share this image, because I don't even know what I'm supposed to be looking at. I think it's the surface of a planet, but it's in black and white. And it's really, like, bad resolution. It's like Mars or Venus, I guess. Venus as seen from a potato. So I have no idea what the fuck it's supposed to be. Like, the random placement of, like, usually poor resolution clip art throughout this book is just astonishing and kind of wonderful in a whimsically terrible way, if that makes sense. Like, this is a horrible choice. I love it. Like, you shouldn't have done this, but also thank you. I wouldn't have made this decision, but God bless. Your decision was fantastic. Okay, let's see. Where the fudge were we? See, I'm censoring myself. I don't always curse. Oh, yeah. Suddenly it started to disappear because David's greatness commanded it down. You mean it's gone? Asked the Admiral.
It is now, sir.
David replied from upon his golden throne, unable to fail. I mean, if I didn't have too much self-doubt, I'm sure I could write a biography and a story like this one day, right? Like my autobiography, be like, oh yeah, and then I just touched it and it magically cured itself. I mean, I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but we have a lot in common. I'm also an unwashed hippie who spends a lot of time around whores. Sorry. Oh, okay. Where the fuck was I? Oh, yeah. It's just gone. It's totally gone. He wished it away.
It might have been some kind of static charge in the atmosphere, sir. That's pretty common because of the extreme change in the temperatures. The only thing we could do is keep an eye out for it in the future. If it comes back, we may have a problem. Hopefully it won't come back and hurt our Genesis experiment, sir.
In brackets, Admiral. Very good, Commander. Maybe we are having some luck go our way. Hasn't your luck always gone your way? Hasn't it always been going your way this entire time? Then David said,
Sir!
Then Lieutenant Courtney spoke up to, like, cut him off and said, Admiral, me first, The science department just told me to tell you, Commander, that we are now starting to launch the satellite applicators into the outer atmosphere. Sir, I also thought it might be best to discharge all of the chemicals first, then adjust the satellite tent shield density for the actual experiment. Then what? Asked the Admiral.
We just wait it out, huh? And just let your magic potion do its work? Right, Commander?
David replied, Yes, sir. Then we take notes for about 3 solar days, or maybe longer, and then go from there and start from scratch all over again, sir. I'm glad that the magnetic plasma field disappeared. Sir, also the cooling of the core temperature is stabilizing right where we want it, sir. We do have one problem here. The inner core is so motionless, the magnetic field is almost non-existent. Planet Earth's magnetic field is very strong because our inner core rotates rapidly.
We don't fucking need to hear that. Shut up, Wikipedia.
Venus's inner core is almost stagnated and unresponsive, and that's why Venus has no magnetic field. If we could get the inner core to move, we would have a magnetic field. On Mars, we hit the core with the microwave beam in the beginning of the turn before the wide bind inside the core, and it worked perfect, but on Venus, because of the anomaly, it just seems riskier.
David had no idea what made that magnetic plasma field occurrence. You're just reading his mind now.
Admiral, I'm going to go over a few things first, then I will check with my science department and see what they say, sir.
The Admiral replied, Very good, Commander. Keep me informed. In brackets, David.
Yes, sir.
Suddenly, Lieutenant Courtney spoke out loud. Supposed to in his mind, he's like, fuck, right, I have to speak it. And said,
Admiral, we're receiving another communique from Mars, sir. It's the ruler of Mars, Vinal Burmish.
Excellent, Lieutenant, patch him through to me, the Admiral said.
Yes, sir, the Lieutenant replied. Then Admiral Benson said,
This is a great honor for me, Vinal. What can I do for you, sir?
Vinal had to talk in a translator so the Aurora could understand him. Okay, so I'm gonna do my, automated voice.
Hello, Admiral. How is everyone on the Aurora?
We're doing great here, Vinal, the Admiral replied. We're working on a Genesis project on the planet Venus right now. How's Mars coming along? I hope everything is well.
In brackets, Vinal. Thanks to all of you, we are doing wonderful. The reason why I contacted all of you is the Genesis project you are presently working on. You see, we are following your progress on the Genesis here on Mars. One of my colleagues here is a scientist. His name, in short, is Barkov. It's Barkov.
Dude, Barko, is he a dog person? Okay. I can say it.
His name, in short, is Barko.
Polo.
He says you are in great danger if you try to heat up the core for a magnetic field. He says because of the anomaly. There is a danger of a huge explosion.
Oh, it's an huge explosion, sorry.
An huge explosion. He is also saying it takes a lot of a volatile process for energy to generate that type of plasma magnetic field. He says you should proceed with everything except heating up the core.
Then the Admiral said,
Vinal, we appreciate your help and I will convey your message to someone I believe you know, sir.
My first science officer, Commander David Bramer.
He's just like name-dropping Jesus. You know, I know.
God. It's the guy who pushes all the buttons.
Then Vinal said,
How can I forget about the savior of our world?
He just wishes that dick was there for him to suck in person.
Please give me your dick.
Like, legitimately, calm down. Oh my god, it gets worse. You guys, I have to end this soon because I'm just gagging on my vomit. Her voice can't even, like, really... It can't portray the dismay I feel at having to say these things. The savior of our world. We are erecting an monument in the name of you and Commander Braemar and all of the people on the Aurora for helping us. We love being a part of this new solar system family. Admiral, if we come up with anything else, we will contact you promptly. I fucking hate that so much. Then Admiral Benson answered, "We thank you for not only your help, but the monument too, sir. You're also welcome to contact us anytime you feel the need." You don't feel it, you feel it. "If you ever have any problems, please do not hesitate to ask for help, sir." Vinal then replied, "Thank you for your concern and good luck on your Genesis." Then Vinal said, "End the communique."
"Did you hear all of that, Commander?" the Admiral asked.
David said,
"Yes, sir, and I think we should respect the Martian scientist Barco and not heat up the core."
Woof.
"Let me check with my science department staff and grab some lunch."
Is it a lobster lunch? It is, isn't it?
"And I will get back to you, sir, and tell you what we come up with in about an hour or two, Admiral."
Then Admiral said, "Very good, Commander. Keep me updated."
Then David said,
"Yes, sir."
And got up and went to his quarters to grab some lunch. As David was going to his quarters, he ran into Captain Dopar in the hall by the air shuttle. Then David said out loud,
"Hey, how's it going, Captain?"
"Pretty good, sir."
Captain Dopar replied, wait, he said, "How's it going, Captain? Pretty good, sir?" He answered his own question? Okay, I'm sorry. Captain Dopar wasn't involved in that conversation. Then David said out loud,
"Hey, how's it going, Captain? Pretty good, sir."
No one likes him. He's so lonely. He's used to answering both parts of the conversation. Captain Dopar replied,
"I was going to grab something to eat."
He didn't even answer the question because David answered it for him. He, like, knows just to ignore that when he does that. They're, like, just... He's like, "Why is he doing that?" Like, please, we know he's got a mental problem. He's part of this special program, just... He was chosen by the pity committee. Then David said,
"That's what I was doing. Would you like to join me, Captain, for lunch at my quarters?"
Captain Dopar said,
"Sure, if you don't mind the company."
Then David said,
"Mind? It's an honor, Captain. My place isn't far from here. I will have you back in no time."
It didn't take them long to get there, and before you knew it, they were chowing down on some chicken casserole with mashed potatoes and gravy for lunch? Who the fuck makes chicken casserole for lunch? Captain Dopar said,
"This is good. What do you call this?" "Captain?"
It's not part of the same sentence. "What do you call this?" Captain, comma. David replied. Okay.
"Captain,"
David replied.
We call this chicken casserole.
No shit, dumbass.
One of my favorites also.
Then the captain said,
"Very good choice. A chicken is a bird that doesn't fly, right?"
No, it's your mom. In brackets, stated.
Yes, it is. Captain, how have you been doing?
Just total segue. Like, we're not discussing chickens anymore. I'm embarrassed for you.
Tell me about this bird. What I mean is, do you miss your home planet? Are you happy?
Then Captain Dopar said,
"Yes, I do miss my planet. I have 4 more of your years left to serve before I can go home, but I am happy. I really love space exploration."
Then David said,
"Do you have any family back on Cybon?"
Captain Dopar answered,
"No immediate family, some distant relatives. I joined the space fleet early in my life. I have been with my space fleet for about 22 of your years. When I finish my military service, my world will give me a home and high status in my local hometown."
They give him a parade and everything.
"That sounds something like the way my Earth is,"
replied "Your Earth? Fuck off," replied David.
"I was a teacher before I became the first science officer. I loved teaching young adults, but it seemed like I was meant to be a space cadet myself. When I was a child, there were some who were kidding around and called me a space cadet from time to time."
Then David started laughing. Then Captain Dopar said,
"We play around too. When we are young, I have found that most of the time everyone is the same all over the galaxy. But every now and then, you find a race of people like the Acorns and the Thracians that are also totally carnivores. They seem to develop differently than those worlds that are both vegetarian and meat-eaters."
You don't know omnivore? All right.
"I guess it's something to do with being carnivores."
Genius. Are you sure you're not a scientist? Then David said,
"Captain Dopar, it is always a pleasure to talk with a longtime veteran spaceman about all of your space adventures."
Have you been day drinking again? Is there booze in that chicken casserole?
"If you ever have a problem or just want someone to talk to, please give me a call. I love talking about your space experiences."
This is code for tell me more about fucking alien, hot alien chicks. Like, he wants to know. He's like, "No, I need to hear it. Are they kinkier, less kinky? How many holes? How many goals?" David and Captain Dopar talked some more and went ahead and finished eating. David asked the captain if he was heading to his science department. He said he was. The captain has helped a lot with the entire project. It was Captain Dopar that developed the special adjustable tint shield on the ecliptic satellites for the solar eclipse. David thanked the captain and his colleagues for all of their help and said that all of the Paulines would get credit for all of their help with the Genesis project.
"We love your people,"
David told Captain Dopar as they went to the science department. Suddenly back on the bridge, another light started flashing on Lieutenant Courtney's communications panel.
"Sir, we are receiving a communique from Earth. It's the President's office, Admiral. They are advising you to go to your office and wait for another communique from the President in 20 minutes, Admiral. I'll patch it through to you now."
Admiral Benson relied.
Very good, Lieutenant. I'm on my way right now. Commander Kraft, it's your bridge now. Now. Commander Kraft answered, "Affirmative, sir." And then the Admiral got up and hurried to his office. When the Admiral got set in his office, Lieutenant Courtney patched the call through. In brackets, the President.
"Hello, Admiral. How's things going with all of you on the Aurora?"
Admiral Benson answered,
"Real good, sir.
As you know, we are knee-deep in the Venus Genesis. We are just about at a point to start the final experiment, Mr. President, but there is a lot of preparation involved. We are almost ready, though, sir." Then the President replied,
"Admiral, all of us down here on Earth are rooting for you. The reason why I called you today is, Admiral, as of 0800 tomorrow, you will be the proud owner of 20 more Pauline ships, all fully equipped with light speed capability. And we just finished putting the Martian shields and weapons on board all 20 ships. I also had them put light speed and the Martian shields and weapons on board the 3 lunar base ships. They're really incredible now. Each of the 3 sections of ship have independent light speed. Admiral Benson, you now have 28 ships, all with light speed capability in your fleet."
He's so hard, he's like almost there.
"They're also all indestructible now. We went from space pilgrims to having the most powerful ships in our known galaxy. Thanks to the Paulines and the Martians."
Like, this is how they fucking rise up and just fucking take over everything. You fucking stock sucks. Like, really fucking power hungry. I'm scared. What are you doing? Why are you, like, frothing in the mouth, Mr. President? Please calm down.
"Oh, thanks to the Paulines and the Martians. I love it, Admiral. We're also working on setting up the Martian shields on the planet Earth. That's right, you heard me right, Admiral. The entire planet will soon have the Martian shields. After we do Earth, we're gonna do Cybon and Mars. A scientist figured out how to make it work. Now the only thing that can hurt our planet is possibly a giant meteor. A scientist figured out, believe it or not, they figured out how to project the Martian shields onto another object like a ship or something else.
Like an octopus, tell us.
They're trying to figure out how to project it onto a large object like a planet or a moon. These type of shields are totally airtight."
Then the Admiral said, "We could use it to set up moon and planet base stations, too. This is all so incredible, Mr. President. Now, if anyone ever tries to destroy Earth, we have a super ace in the hole. This is all so fantastic. Earth has leaped way advanced to any of my wildest dreams in just 1 year. Unbelievable! Thank you for telling me all of this, Mr. President. It really brightened my day, sir. I feel like it's my birthday or Christmas or something. I feel like celebrating."
These are two professionals having a conversation. Then the President said,
"Well, Admiral, you deserve to celebrate every now and then. All of you out there in the heavens protect us and help us have peace and freedom. We lost over 10 million people on Earth and in the heavens fighting last year in that damn war. But it could have been a lot worse. Admiral, if it wasn't for your space fleet, we could have been wiped out or worse, enslaved by the Archon world. The thought of that terrifies me. Just thinking about how it would have happened. So much anal probing. What, how big would the probes have been? I bet they would have used probes of increasing size. Maybe even ones that vibrate into my prostate. That would be terrible. I couldn't help but come.
Sorry. This president is deranged. This is the future. And this is the better candidate. That's the worst part. Okay.
The thought of that, yeah, down on Earth, it all seemed like a sci-fi movie or something. Well, Admiral, I'm gonna go. I just wanted to tell you about your new fleet.
Admiral Benson replied, "Thanks for calling me, Mr. President. You really brighten my day."
"You're welcome, Admiral,"
the President said.
"Good luck on your Genesis, too, Admiral."
Double admirals. Admiral Benson answered, "Thank you, sir. You have a wonderful day. End communique." And then the Admiral started thinking, "Wow, we have a fleet of 28 ships, and they are all indestructible, and I'm in command? Wow, life is great!"
They actually wrote that. That was not my improv. Wow, life is great.
Now, if we pull off this Venus Genesis, that would be like icing on the cake.
Back at the science department, David and Captain Dopart and some of the others, like Lieutenant Plant and Captain Friedman, were going over everything possible connected to the Genesis. Then David was saying,
"Yeah, it's what the Martian scientist Barco said."
Stop saying his name.
"And I believe he knows what he's talking about."
In brackets, Captain Friedman.
"Commander, why don't we just do what Barco said and leave the Corps alone for now?"
They need more accents, okay. I'm not gonna... What kind of accent was that? I'm not pinning it down. It's space accent. This is a normal accent in the year 2040, whatever. Shut up and accept the sounds.
David replied, "I think it's exactly what we're gonna do."
"Why not play it safe, Captain?"
Lieutenant Plant suddenly spoke out.
Sir, we have the last of the satellite applicators ready for launch and only a few surface commanders or canisters left to launch."
Then the commander said,
"I want to thank all of you for putting up with me. I know we've all worked long and hard on this one. I think everyone here knows Venus is not as easy as Mars was."
"Yeah, it was. It was, like, just as easy, you liar."
"I want to say something else. Everyone here will get credit for this Genesis, not just me. Me, David, your fucking leader, Jesus, figure, bastard, son of a bitch."
"Yeah, not just me. Why would you get all the credit, you fucker? Why do you assume you get all the credit? You're not even, like, first in command, asshole." "Jesus Christ.
It will go on our records and set up a patch for everyone for our uniforms. The crew of the Aurora will get a patch, and everyone connected to the science department and the two departments that assisted all these launches will get a special patch, too. We still have a ways to go, but I do see the finish line here. Remember, once we get done with what we are doing on this experiment, we have to start all over again until we can sustain life on Venus. Hopefully, we won't have far to go when we're done with this project. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to head back to the bridge. Everyone, let's concentrate on finishing launching on the rest of the canisters down to the surface. And start launching all of the satellite applicators. Captain, it's 1300 hours. Do you think we can get all the canisters down to the surface and all the satellite applicators in orbit and in position by 1700 hours?
We should get pretty close, sir,
replied Lieutenant Plant.
It all depends on how many of the surface probes that carry the canisters are malfunctioning. Or if we make any errors from all the programming we have to do.
Of course you won't. Of course you won't.
After all, there is a lot of work yet before us.
Then David said,
Yes, I know, Lieutenant. Just do the best you can do without killing yourself. If we will have to, we will finish early and do the rest at 0800 in the morning. I'm going to go back to the bridge, get situated, let this show get this show on the road. Captain, are you headed back to the bridge too?
And that's the end of the fucking chapter. You'll have to find out if the captain's headed back for the bridge. In chapter 7, you can't fight destiny. But can you fight the urge to vomit as they continue to praise David Braemar over and over? I don't know, but I can't wait to find out next time. Hopefully you'll join me back here. Anyway, I look forward to it. I don't know why. I guess that a heavy masochist and the sadomasochist today, perhaps. And hopefully you hate yourself enough to join me back here, too. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.